Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah's in the middle of the Bible, near Psalms and Proverbs. Isaiah 43. And this morning, just want to meditate on God and who He is and what He's saying to His people. And want to sort of contrast where we are in life and where our hearts are with what God says to His people and who He is. So Isaiah 43. Verse 1, "But now thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and say to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Bring out the people who are blind, even though they have eyes, and the deaf, even though they have ears. All the nations are gathered together so that the people may be assembled. Who among them can declare this and proclaim to us the former things? Let them present their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there was no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Even from eternity I am He, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and will bring them all as fugitives, even the Chaldeans, into the ships in which they rejoice." Verse 15, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man. They will lie down together and not rise again. They have been quenched and extinguished like a wick. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will bring spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to drink to my chosen people. The people who I formed for myself would declare my praise." Verse 22, "Yet you have not called on me, O Jacob, but you have become weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought to me the sheep of your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have bought me not sweet cane with money, nor have you filled me with the fat of your sacrifices. Rather, you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities." Verse 25, "I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." Let's stop right there. Let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you for this revelation of who you are. And God, we just pray that as we are reminded of just how you call us your own children and that you are a father, Lord, we just want to be with you during this time. Lord, would you give us wisdom today, and we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So though this is a lengthy chapter, I feel like it's a very important thing to understand the heart of God as we go through this. In verses 1 through, let's say, 7, he's reassuring the people of Israel that, look, guys, you are my people, I'm your father, spiritual heavenly father, and I love you. Some of the background that's going on is that they've sinned and rebelled against God, and they're in captivity again. And so now he has to remind these people, look, your situation is very difficult, very dire. You may be feeling anxious and things. And let me remind you once again that I have redeemed you. this idea, this word redeemed for the Israelites, especially in this time and period, is an imagery of slavery, how a slave is redeemed. Redeemed means that there is someone who is able to pay the price to free them from slavery. And so when the word redeemed is used, the Israelites has this already image of slavery and being set free. And God is saying, I'm the one that has redeemed you. And he says, you are mine, and when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And so there's constant reassuring to his people. Look, I am your Lord. And verse 4 is powerful. It says, since you are precious, and these are the words of God directly to his people. Since you are precious, affirming them that they are precious. Since you're precious, since you are honored, and I love you. I mean, it's amazing, straight up. He says, I love you. Now, if you grew up with Asian parents and Asian fathers, this is probably pretty rare. And if it ever does happen, it's pretty meaningful and powerful and significant. And he says straight up to his people, since you are honored and I love you, he says, I will give other men in your place and other people in exchange for your life. He's saying, look, I love you so much, and of course I love everyone, you know, in the overall big picture, but he's saying specifically to these people, you are so significant to me. Look, I'm willing to give other people up for you in your place in exchange for your life. And that's powerful. Obviously we have family relationships, and then we have other relationships. And if anyone were to say to you, look, you know, you're so important to me that I'm willing to give up my own family, my own friends, my own life for you, that's how important you are. And that's what God is saying to his people in verse 4. And then he continues in verse 5. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. And so these obviously the reason why he's saying don't be afraid is because they're afraid. Do not fear, because they're afraid. They're afraid of just the bondage that they're in. They're afraid that God is going to punish them again, that God is going to continue in his punishment. And so the Lord is trying to reassure them. And we'll see sort of a bookend at the end as we read that, look, you are still in your sin. You sinned against me. And so they know that. And so they're afraid that, look, oh my goodness, you know, God is going to destroy us, punish us. He's going to remove us. And how often do we feel that way when we're stuck in our sin, when we're stuck in our past, when we're stuck in our bondages, that immediately we feel that God is far away from us? And here's the amazing thing that God is trying to do. He's trying to, during those times when we feel that in our sin or in our difficulties, in our circumstances, and we feel that God is far away from us, that we begin to pray and there seems to be a silence, what's wonderful is that God is immediately trying to tell his people, look, I am here, I am your God, do not be afraid. He's trying to comfort them, he's trying to reassure them, look, yes, you are in sin, yes, you are in bondage, yes, you are rebellious, but look, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You are my people, I call you by name. And then let's jump down to verse 15. And he says, I am the Lord, your Holy One. Once again, he's referring who he is, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, and now he begins to remind them of the Exodus back in Egypt, who makes a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty men. And so he reminds them of the Exodus. He says, remember when I brought you out of Egypt, remember how powerful that was, remember that I was able to do that. Please remember that, because I'm able to do that again. And he constantly refers that. And isn't it awesome, or isn't it true that if you look back in your life and you see the times of God's faithfulness and how he's delivered you powerfully, maybe you're in a bind that was just so difficult, but God somehow got you through that, and now you're facing another difficulty, another situation, and how easily it is for us to be anxious or afraid or to lose faith because we're like, man, God, I don't know how you're going to do this. Even though in the past you've been faithful, even though in the past you've helped, even though you've done miracles in the past, but this current difficult situation of cancer or sickness or financial difficulty, how am I going to get out of this? And we forget. And so the Lord is trying to remind us, look, remember that. And then in verse 18, it's funny. It says, you remember that? Now forget it. Remember the Exodus? Remember how powerful that was? Now forget it. It says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. And he says in verse 19, behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. And you notice the subtle change that before it was, I will make a path through mighty waters. But now the subtle change is, I will make a roadway, a path in the wilderness. Because that's where they are. And then rivers in the desert. He's saying, look, forget what happened before. Don't think about the past. It's over. And what the Lord wants us to understand is that he is far more interested in our future than he does our past. Some of us are really stuck in our past. And what he wants to remind us is that that the future is what God is interested in. The promised land is what God is interested more than the past. He says, forget about the former things. Look, I'm going to do a new thing. See, because Israel is being punished for their sins, because of their rebellion against God. And now God, he wants to give them hope and encouragement to his people. He wants them to know, even though they're being punished, even though that they were in rebellion, that they were still not going to be forsaken. And God wanted them to understand that the punishment that they're going through was not the end. In fact, God wanted to give them a new start, a fresh beginning. And Israel, no doubt, was discouraged because they may have thought that this is the end, and they've gone so far and they rebelled against God, and that God wouldn't be their God anymore, and maybe they thought that God wouldn't deliver them again. And God is saying, no, you are my people. And maybe that's where you're feeling this morning, that maybe you've made so many mistakes, and maybe you failed God so many times. And maybe you know that you are weak. Maybe you know that you have this propensity to let God down because of your actions. And what I want us to do this morning is to sort of compare our hearts and our lives and where we are right now with the truth and the Word of God. That God is saying to us this morning, I am your God, you are my people, I've redeemed you, I've called you out, I have saved you. Though you've gone through the waters, I'm going to be there, for I am your God. And I'm willing to exchange another group of people for your life. And remember the things that I've done in the past, remember? Well, forget that. I ask you to remember them because I want you to know that I am God. But look, I'm going to do a new thing. The thing that you thought that was awesome or wonderful in the past, I'm even going to do greater things than that, the Lord says. I'm going to do even a bigger work, a greater work. There's nothing that you could do to make God love you more than he does right now. And he says, so don't forget those things. He says the beasts of the field will praise him. And his people will praise him. But what's interesting is that the background, he says that in verse 22, yet you have not called on me, O Jacob, but you have become weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me the sheep of your burnt offerings. In other words, what he's saying is, I am doing this not even because you've asked of me to do this. I'm doing this because of who I am. I'm doing this because of my relationship with you. I'm doing this because of my love. You haven't even given me burnt offerings. You haven't even asked for forgiveness. You haven't even served me. You haven't done anything for me. I am doing it simply because I love you. Now, that doesn't really make sense because it's like, we are not deserving of forgiveness. We're not deserving of these things. We're not deserving of those things. But God is saying, I am doing that even though you've not brought me burnt offerings. You have not honored me with sacrifices. You've not you've not brought sweet cane, verse 24, with your money. You've not filled me with the fat of your sacrifice. Rather, he says, instead of doing those things, you've actually burdened me. You've actually sinned against me. You've even wearied me with your iniquities. He's saying, look, this is not a fair transaction that's happening. But don't worry. Even I wipe out your transgressions, verse 25, for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Remember that the sins of the people have been grave and horrible, rebellion, sin. And they haven't even asked for reconciliation. They haven't offered burnt offerings. And in fact, God says, you have burdened me with your sins and iniquities. Yet in verse 25, he says, I will wipe out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. As I look at sort of our journey as we walk this Christian walk, and as we stumble and fall, and as we make some grave mistakes, it's easy to feel that God is going to punish us, and God is going to hate us, and God is going to separate from us, and God is not going to be there. But he reassures us that he is our Father, he is our God, he is our Lord. And what an encouragement, at least it is for me, that God is able to remember our sins no more, and out of his love, he is with us, that he will deliver us. So let's meditate on that, and I encourage you to maybe go over and reread this and have this in your heart. I just want to read as we have Eunice come and lead us in a song. Verse 1, do not fear, don't be afraid, for I have redeemed you, and I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you, for I am the Lord your God. For I am the Lord your God. Let's bow our heads this morning as we meditate on God. And this is who he's revealing to us and what he's saying about us. And so, Lord, we thank you. God, we are a rebellious people. And God, we want to do our own thing, and God, we are selfish. And Lord, we are afraid. But Lord, you are good and almighty. And you call us your own. You call us precious. You honor us. And you love us. And Lord, I will not be afraid, for I know that you are with me. So Lord, we give you this morning. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Living in me.
test before you. Test before you.
Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for our community and let's ask the Lord to bring healing and bring restoration and bring life to those who are struggling with cancer. Let's faithfully pray for them and ask the Lord to do incredible wonders and miracles. So let's lift them up by name and let's ask for God's healing upon them. Let's pray. Let's lift up those who are not believers, yet are struggling with sicknesses, and let's ask the Lord to use not only this, but just in other ways that they may see Christ and be able to receive Jesus into their lives. And so let's pray for salvation, and let's pray for their illnesses. Let's lift them up right now. And let's lift up others in our community that have sicknesses and illness. Let's ask the Lord for His mercy, and let's ask the Lord for grace and strength upon their lives. Let's lift up those who are sick right now. Let's pray. Let's pray for those who are looking for employment and jobs. Let's ask the Lord to open doors for them, and let's ask the Lord to bless them during this challenging time. So let's pray for them right now. Let's pray for our mission focus for today, and let's lift up China. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters at SP Beijing. Let's pray for Leanne, and let's pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Bas Raba's, Edie, and Chichihar kids. Let's pray for the churches there. Let's lift up China and ask the Lord to for a breakthrough. Let's ask the Lord to make His presence known, and so let's lift them up right now. If you could lift up the staff at SP and just pray for their families, pray for God to lead them and to guide them. Let's pray for unity, and let's pray for wisdom as we lead. And so if you could just lift up a staff, that would be great. Let's pray. Let's pray for our worship and sound and media team, and ask the Lord to use them and bless them. And let's ask the Lord to show them and that they would be able to serve with their whole hearts. And so let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for our creative arts ministry and ask the Lord to give them just incredible creativity and ideas, and that they would be able to communicate Christ through art. And so let's ask the Lord to stir up creativity, stir up ideas in their group. So let's lift them up right now.
Ideas that you have, God, reveal how you can communicate, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Let's pray for our house churches that are meeting and ask the Lord to bless them. And as they meet together, actually, I believe we're on break. But in any case, just lift them up and ask the Lord to use them even during this break. Finally, can we just pray for our team that is in Xizhang, that is serving there, and let's ask for salvation there in China, and let's ask the Lord to give a greater revelation of who He is as they teach English there. And so let's pray for the team members, and let's pray for the people of the Xizhang trip.
Fruitful ministry. We pray, Father.
So Lord, we just give you praise and honor and glory for who you are to us and what you've done for us. And Lord, we just thank you that you love us in spite of our sins, in spite of our rebellion. And Lord, that you are still our Heavenly Father, God. We just thank you for that, and we just want to bless you and honor you. God, we want to be with you, and Lord, we just ask for your help in living this life that you've called us to live. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessings to you today, and may you experience His grace and His peace as you continue to pray, and encourage you to stay and seek His face. And we'll see you tomorrow.